This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Good morning. I'd like to say for our radio audiences that this is Raymond Charles Barker speaking to you from the beautiful Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. Creation necessitates a creator. Life necessitates that which causes it to be. None of this is self-created. None of it is self-sustained in the larger view of things. All creation bespeaks an intelligence, a causative mind, a living spirit, a universal emotion, and a greatness and a goodness inherent in all. Now you may look around you at the world today and say, well, but it doesn't seem that way. Of course it doesn't. But nevertheless, that doesn't take away from the fact that it is true. Creation necessitates a creative cause. Life necessitates a creative intelligence. Something causes things to happen. Something makes things happen. Something makes people, situations, and conditions happen. And so you and I are in the midst of this great creative process wherein life is forever taking place, love is forever moving through the hearts of people, joy is available for those who can grasp it, and the goodness of life is available for those who can sense it. We are the people who know this. So what do we say is our basis? That there is one creative, causative mind in all, through all, in action by means of all, and it is individualized in us. It is that in us which causes us to be, to think, to feel, to know, to act, to decide, to become. And that is our basic premise. One mind, one God, one life, one spirit, one causative power, and all of it is ours, individually and collectively. So we are its means of operation. We are its means of action. We are its means of doing whatever we want it to do, because it is subject to us. All right, now with that as an introduction, now let us have a time of treatment, a time of quiet, taking it into our subconscious minds. And again affirming, there is one creative mind, one creative cause. It is good. It is beneficent. It is life itself. And we are its beloved activity. We are its means of action, its means of self-expression. We are the individualized activity of an infinite knower, knowing itself, and therefore in us, it knows itself. Perfect, complete, full, wonderful. That's the whole thing. And we are its beloved action. All right, subconscious mind, you have it and you do it. So it is. This morning we're going to turn to our third inside page as always, and may I say that we're going to sing a farewell to this one, to this song, and many of you will be glad to see it go, but in a few months you'll be glad to see it come back again. It has served its purpose. It has shouted its triumph. And therefore, on this final Sunday, because we're going to have a new one next Sunday, shall we sing it with enthusiasm and with authority? Because it's true. You and I build our new tomorrows. And we do. Because that's the only way tomorrow can be. Let me read the words to the first verse. We build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future. Our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on patterns formed today. Good words to a grand old tune, shall we stand and sing it with authority. Horizons expand. We're going to talk about it. Your mind is not the same mind you had yesterday, nor is mine. Now, the operation of it is the same, the brain functioning, the sense of consciousness is the same, but from 11 o'clock yesterday morning until 11 o'clock this morning, you and I have fed into our minds this great arena of five sense perception, I'll call it that. Our five senses have acted all through the day and the night and the morning here. And so this great flood of information has gone into your mind. And every day your mind expands and expands and expands because you know more, you sense more. You listen to news events, you look at television, you listen to radio, whatever it is. You are putting in new, fresh material, some of it good, some of it dreadful. Yep. Remember, all your worries and all your fears go in to this great subconscious mind that you have. All your hopes, all your dreams, all your constructive actions. All of that goes in. So your mind is not the mind you had yesterday at this time. My mind isn't. And tomorrow at this time, I will have a larger mind. I will have everything that I know now, but I will have that which I take in during the rest of this day, this night, and tomorrow morning. Because mind is never static. Mind is never complete. Mind is always expanding. That's why horizons should be expanding with the mind. The sense that there is always more, that nothing is finished business. Nothing, ever. One of our teachers used to make the statement, there are no finalities, so don't you ever use any. You know, I'll never do this again, I'll never do that again, I'll never this. Well, sometimes you have to break that pattern. Quite often you do. That's why all promises are really made to be broken. It takes understanding minds to keep a promise alive. It takes hard work to keep a healthy marriage going, or a healthy friendship, or a healthy relationship in a business. It takes work. It is not just a casual thing. So you and I are in the midst of that which gives itself to us, never withholds anything from us, but which, unless we know it, we cannot take part in it. Unless I know it, I can't take part in it. Here is a divine givingness, something giving of itself to me freely. But I have to know that I am the recipient of it, that I am the recipient of the wisdom of the ages, but also of that mind which is initiating new thought right now. Because the infinite intelligence never repeats itself. It has never done so, and it never will. It is always doing that which is new, vital, creative, fresh. Now, you and I are made in its image and likeness, it says. But it is rare for us individually to be doing something vital, creative, productive, fresh, because we become absorbed in routines. We become absorbed in routines. And routines are very necessary. I'm not decrying routines. That's how I got here this morning. I followed my routine. So the alarm went off at a certain time, and I blinked. And on went the coffee pot, my second item of the morning. And then my dressing and preparing. And then my time of quiet at my desk. All of this is a Sunday morning routine I go through. And it makes my life very easy. So I'm not against routines. I'm only against routines when they become ruts. I'm only against them then. Then they deter fresh thinking. Then they hold back new ideas. Then they cause you and I to be very average people. See, the minute you think like everyone else thinks, react the way everyone else reacts, there's no real reason for your existence. Average people are everywhere. And average people have never changed the world, and they never will. Every creative mind that's ever appeared, whether it be in the field of philosophy, religion, science, art, whatever, has always been an individual who thought beyond and above the average. Now, for this, many of them were persecuted. Some of them died, but they all contributed a light. They all contributed something that the rest of us can hold on and say yes. Now, you're going to say, well, but the prophets of old, I'm not talking entirely about the prophets of old. There are plenty of creative prophets today. I respect the prophets of old. I get great wisdom from some of their writings. But also, I want the modern prophets. I want the people who say something new, whether I agree with it or not. At least they've said something new. I can decide whether I like it or not. I can decide whether I'm going to take it into my thinking and make it a part of my expanding horizon, or whether I can just reject it, say no. Fine for that person, but not for me. There are many ideologies to which I do not subscribe, but at least I am aware of them. I am aware of them. I reject them after I have pursued them, merely because they don't fit my way of thinking, feeling, and reacting. But nevertheless, I'm glad someone had the courage to announce it to figure it out, to develop its philosophy, and all the rest. No, your mind is always thinking and always growing. My mind is always thinking and always growing. But in the average day, the junk we put into it, I use that word, it just makes you pause and think. The junk we put into it. Now, we also put a great deal of good in it. Yes. I did a great deal of creative reading yesterday afternoon. Put a lot of good material into it. I'm glad I did. The moment I can't remember, don't need to. It's a part of me forever. If ever I need to, it'll pop up. It'll arrive back on the threshold of consciousness as and when and if I need it. And until then, I don't need to fuss about it. It's there when I want it. That's why when you are greatly disturbed emotionally, you'll find old phrases come. Old phrases come to the surface. Whether it's anger or joy, whether it's love or hate, whether it's beauty or ugliness, old phrases pop up to the surface. Isn't that awful? Isn't that lovely? Isn't this terrible? Isn't this great? Old phrases come up. You see, it's like people who perpetually swear. As I read a very fascinating psychological monograph on it some years ago, the author, a psychiatrist, figured out there are only really 81 swear words. But there are 1,000 combinations. And quite often when I hear or read in a book or something swearing, I think, well, now that's an interesting combination. That's very interesting. Different. But all based on 82 words. But thousands of interpretations. Well, this would be true of anything. All science is based upon fundamental facts with an infinite variety of variations. And you are exactly like that. You are the thinker, you feel, and you have an infinite variety of implications, possibilities, capabilities, the whole bit. Yet the fundamental thing that is life in you or in myself is a spiritual thing, giving of itself to us for our own experimentation, for our own thinking through. If you were to say to some of your friends, have you ever taken 3 minutes of a day to ask yourself quietly, what is life? No, they haven't. So have you. Why don't you do it this afternoon? 2 minutes will do it. What is life? Is it all this action that we go into? No. That's a result of it. Is it all the hurry, the bustle, the worry, the fear, the whole bit? No. That's a result of our use of it. What is life? It is that in me which can know, feel, and originate ideas or accept ideas from other sources. Life is a knowingness. While it produces action, it isn't action. Action is the result. It is the effect to the cause. When I say I am life, I am saying I am a knower, knowing that I know. Now, don't shut up because of that. It sounds profound. It really isn't. It's what in the modern phraseology we say, I am life because I am consciousness. Because I am aware. Because I am the thinker, the knower, the experiencer of the way my mind works, my consciousness works, my area of self-determination works. Because all of us are in an area of self-determination. Even when we don't like what is self-determined, Nevertheless, it's there. We're in an area which we have unconsciously or consciously self-determined. Now, luckily, all of these areas can be broken down. There are no finalities. Nothing is final, except good old, was it Benjamin Franklin said death and taxes? Well, we don't worry about those. Someday I won't be here. In the meantime comes April 15th, and I'll pay what I need to pay, period. And not get excited. Not get excited. At any rate, there are no basic finalities. That's why science is always progressive. That's why philosophy, in its current phases, is always progressive. That's why spiritual teachings in the modern sense are always progressive. They do not rely upon an age-old concept. They have the concept of the now. The now. And so the scientist is not overly anxious about something that took place 200 years ago, 2,000, 5,000 years ago. He's interested in what is the latest research now, and what can he or she do with it? He's a now person, in a now experience, creating something fresh. Now that's what you and I should be doing. We should be now people, in a now experience, creating something fresh. Something vital, not necessarily to change the history of the world. Heaven knows, I've had enough time trying to change my own world. I don't need to change the world. I'm busy. I have my world, and boy, does it need some repair jobs occasionally. Yeah. Does it need a little looking over? It needs new ideas. It needs fresh impulses, new motivations. Oh, I've got enough to do right here. In my consciousness, for all eternity, and I will be somewhere all eternity doing it. But now is the accepted time. This is the day, the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lovely phrase. Here's something that is fresh, clean, vital, offering itself to us as all mind, all intelligence, all love, all possibility. And that we rejoice in. We may not grasp these things. We may say, oh, well, it's an old phrase. Toss it out the window. But the thinker will say, wait a minute. Here is something to remind me that every instant of time is new, fresh, creative, possible, vital. And here I sit going around in the same old thoughts I've had for 30 years. Or 10 years. Or 3 years. Or just the last 2 weeks. Same old routine thinking. You know? Someone was reading a newspaper in my presence yesterday and said, you know, I don't know why I read this paper. Nothing in it different from what was in yesterday's paper. Then I said, well, put it down, this wastebasket. Did they? Of course they didn't. No, through that they turned one more page to read what they said they had read the day before. Now, whether they had or not, I don't know. But here was a cliche. Here was an announcement of a great generality, and yet that individual would not put the paper in the wastebasket unread. Nope, might be something new. And I guess there was, I don't know. I know that I found something new in it. But at any rate, expanding horizons, the larger viewpoint, the greater picture, the greater possibility, the greater potential. No one is ever finished except unless they have accepted it. Unless they have arrived at the why bother attitude. Why bother? So another person said to me recently, well, why bother to earn more money? It all goes to the government anyway. And I said, well, then you shouldn't. Then you shouldn't. I intend to earn more money. I'll pay more to the government, but I'll have more for my own use anyway. They look at me sadly. They do. You'd be surprised at the people who think I'm a dum-dum. Because I just can't take these great cliches all the time. Now, no man, no woman is ever finished until they have accepted it for themselves. And then they arrive at this, well, why bother attitude? Fine. For them, not for us. Not for us. Because you and I are dealing with an incessant intelligence forever in action as ideas and saying, wake up, grasp, use, explore, and create a new horizon, the larger picture, the greater scene, and certainly a healthier viewpoint. Look, my grandfather and your grandfather was sure this country was going to the dogs. Absolutely convinced of it. I had a rather unpleasant grandfather who announced on all occasions such utterances such as that. I've forgotten who was president at the time, but I know he didn't like him. And announced it on all occasions when we were not discussing politics. So, at any rate, he was certain that my generation wouldn't even be around, and so on and so forth. Well, he's wrong, because these great pronouncements of evil are never really so. They're all temporary. Even a war, no matter how severe it is temporary. Now, while we're in it, it's very real, and it should be. We do everything we can for it. But nevertheless, there comes the day when it ceases to be. Because everything in the material world is temporary. That's why even your body is temporary. But you as idea, you as consciousness are permanent. So here I am in a temporary field of experience, motivated by an eternal unfolding reality of mind. That's what I am. That's what you are. So things are going to change, of course. They always have, they always will. Are they going to change for the better? I have no way of knowing that better than you do. I don't know. They're going to change, and I'm going to change with them. And if you're wise, you will change with them. But you know the millions that'll sit back and say there's nothing to be done. Just take it on the chin. You can't fight City Hall, all these other cliches, which isn't true at all. Just ask the mayor at the present time how many people fought him. He can tell you quite a group of them, many thousands of people, as well as individuals. Now, because there is something in man that says it does not, evil does not need to be. Negatives do not need to be. And the first way of healing them is to realize they are temporary. They are short-lived for those who can see through them. They may last for 80 years to the person who's given up hope, who's resigned himself or herself to the situation, as they say. So people say to me, well, Dr. Barker, I have this, and it supposedly is incurable. There's nothing I can do about it. I used to interfere. Now I don't. I say, well, isn't that too bad, dear? Because that's what they want, you know. They want sympathy. They want another ear. That's what they want. Now, what would I say if I could to them? I say, that's not true at all. You can change your thought. You can change your consciousness. You can change your attitudes. You can get rid of defeat. You can arrive at a more victorious state of mind, and you can have a greater and happier experience. But when I used to say that to them, they shook their head and said, oh, no, no, the doctor says. And I said, fine. And with that, I let them be in their own problem. See, when you're young, you want to solve everybody's problems. Wisdom says don't bother. Most people don't want their problems solved. They're in their circle of self-pity. They build up their reasons for their failures. It's never their fault. No. It's society in general, or the company for which they work, or the family environment, or whatever they can think of. They always have a reason. And it's as good as any if you're using nothing but the human mind. The human mind will explain everything at the human level. But the human level isn't the whole thing of being. We're not just humans. We're not just the eating, drinking, feeling body that's running around. That's humans. We're not that. We think, we know, we feel, we act, we decide. Even if it's a negative, we decide. Even if it's a negative, we make our decision. And rest in it, convince ourselves that it is the right thing to do to make such a decision, and sit and deteriorate. So what? Not for you, not for me. Life did not create you to deteriorate. Life did not create me to deteriorate. Life created me to be a full, total expression of life, of mind, of emotion, of feeling. The whole bit. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. And thank God there are millions of us around that know it. The others, in their apathy, look for a leader because they do not want to lead themselves. They want somebody out there to do it for them. And so they rest in that. Now when I am alert to creative ideas, I am the leader of my consciousness. I am the shepherd of my flock of mind. When I am aware of it, when I am aware of it, and occasionally, you know, quite a few black sheep get into your mind. Now, they may be fun in a pasture, they're very troublesome in mind. And so I get in there, go to work on them, and get rid of them, because I don't want them. You know, so this, that, the other, you know the negatives as well as I do. See, the more you study this science, the more you're going to be aware of negatives. You're going to say, well, that isn't the purpose of this science. The science is to make you aware of positives. I know, and it does. But it alerts your mind to what you are doing to yourself. And that is unkind. I wish it weren't that way, but that's the way it is. So this morning it reminded me that one slice of toast lightly buttered was enough. And the black sheep in me said, eat another. Eat another. One won't make any difference. Anyway, I said, black sheep, you get out. And I put the bread away. Yeah, got rid of that one. Little things you're going to say, but those aren't important things. I know they're not. But I also know that the larger negatives that come my way are tremendously important. And unless I think them through and dismiss them from my consciousness, they are going to cause trouble for me. Now, perhaps not for anyone else, but they will cause trouble for me. And therefore, I don't want them. I want them not. Now, how do I dismiss them out of mind? By looking them right in the face and saying, you are not so, and I refuse to believe what you tell me. The world is not going to pot. The country's not going to pot. I'm not going to pot. You're not going to pot. Then they bring in that awful thing. Well, as you grow older, so what? So what? You can linger in that cesspool forever and get more pains and aches and twinges. Yeah. You say, well, what can I expect? I'm not a child anymore. Well, you're acting like one. You're reacting like a child. You've given up hope. You've resigned yourself to a calendar, to a birth certificate, just waiting for it to become a death certificate, wondering when that will be. Not even fighting it at all. Now, widening horizons. If your world isn't a larger one than you had a year ago, then you have failed the creative process. If it is not a more peaceful one than a year ago, then you have failed the creative process. And I could go on with any number of those situations. But when you can, with honesty, say, I live in a better world today than I did a year ago. Maybe the same old house or apartment, the same old job, the same old income. Yes, but have you got the same old mind that goes with it? If you have, then you're tragic. I'm doing the same job I did a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's as far as I'll go. Actually, I came here in 1946, so you figure it out. That's 30 wonderful years. I didn't know it at the beginning. They didn't seem to be wonderful, but I can look back now and be glad. Why? Because I stay as fresh as I can. And I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. If you followed me around for 24 hours in any day, you'd find some of my imperfections. But more and more I know them. More and more I handle them. More and more I think through them to a logical opposite, to that which is available as the good. And so the moment of anger passes. The moment of quiet comes. And I see all things as they really are. We have that lovely phrase in the Old Testament, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. Meaning, look up in thought and see the answer. Because there is always an answer in the creative mind. All right, so endeth the lesson. Thank you. That time has come wherein we will accept your gifts, your love, your affection, your money, and we will use it for wise purposes to further the work that we are doing. And thank you for it. Thank you. I'd like to say for our radio audiences around the country who cannot easily get to Ellis Tully Hall here in Lincoln Center, New York, that our organist, Mr. Earl Goodwin, a very great man, and he's playing one of the great organs of the United States of America, the new Ellis Tully Hall organ, one of the great ones of the country. For you who are nearby, come in, see it. And even more important than the organ, I'll be speaking. Oh. All right. I'd like to say for our radio audience that if you want to write us, you write to us, just Dr. Barker, 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, and the zip is 10017. Now, we have cassette tapes of every Sunday morning lecture. So those of you that enjoyed the Reverend Stuart Grayson last Sunday, there are tapes of last Sunday's talk outside at the book table. And those of you who want to write in for them by mail, they are $5 each. We've come to that time of the month, you know, when you need your new magazines. And we have two tools, as I call them. One is called the Creative Thought Magazine, for which I write extensively. And the other is the Science of Mind Magazine, equally valuable. These two magazines are available outside here today at our building every day in the week. And by mail for those of you who write to us for them. Creative Thought Magazine is 50 cents, and The Science of Mind is 75. So just send $1.25 and say, send the two magazines. We'll know exactly what you mean, and we'll do it for you. We're looking ahead to September, as always we look ahead every month, for our new classes, which will be opening beginning the 15th of September. And we're going to be teaching all 4 years of accredited study in religious science. Outside are some programs describing all four of the courses, who the teachers are, what their textbooks are, what to do about it. You'll be led by your own indwelling spirit as to whether to be a part of them. We always have a tremendous amount of people taking our accredited classes all the time. We'd love to have you as a part of it. Next Sunday morning is Labor Day weekend, and many of you are going to be away. This we understand. Have a wonderful time, relax, come back refreshed. But for you who are in New York on next Sunday, will you please cause my soul to rejoice by being present in person? You see, when people say to me, well, I'm always with you in spirit. I say, that doesn't help anything. Send a check. You see, it's cheaper to be with us in spirit. At any rate, those of you that be in New York next week and in the radio audience around New York, why don't you come in and see our lovely hall, the great organ. You can meet Mr. Goodwin, myself, the Reverend Grayson, all of us. And we're nice people to meet, nice people to know. Now, 2 weeks from today, they're giving me a birthday party. The information is in your program. And for the radio audience, if you'd like the information, we'll be happy to send it to you. It's going to be in the very beautiful, world-famous Rainbow Room on top of Rockefeller Center, where we were last year. Beautiful room, beautiful experience, beautiful everything. All right, those are a lot of announcements, and we're going to stop them right here and now. And if I've forgotten any of them, fine. Fine. We had a minister once in this city years ago who was so enthusiastic he forgot to take up the collection. You'll notice my enthusiasm never gets to that high a pitch. Really, at any rate, the church was in good financial state, didn't do any harm. He did the following Sunday, remember. I imagine he had a big sign put on his pulpit by his board of trustees saying, don't forget the collection. Now these new horizons, these wider viewpoints, this the hope of glory. The hope of expansion. The hope of new, fresh, creative thinking. Not just that which I did all last week and expect all this week. No. Something different. Something different. Something unusual. And how do you do it? You create it. Now, if you want the same old story, it's yours. No one can divest you of it. But if you're interested in a new idea of any kind, pursue it. You can say, well, where do I get new ideas? Books, books, books. Outside, we've got a couple of hundred books, all with new ideas in them. Books, books, books. Go new places, see new things. You know. And don't just sit back with that old cliche, well, it's too hot. You see. Well, don't worry, by February it's going to be too cold. So get used to that. And next year at the same time, it's going to be too hot. And for the people who are too hot and too cold, I have no condemnation. They're just missing life. They're just missing this experience of full being, that which the infinite spirit intended every person to be. No wonder we have that beautiful statement, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Meaning you, myself, when we are alert, alive, keen, vital, and rejoicing. Right, we're going out into a wonderful world. A world that is much more than a thermometer. Hearest thou me? There's a great thing out there that isn't just a thermometer. And it isn't just a pollen count and a humidity index. It's beautiful. And we're the beautiful people to go out into it and experience the beauty. All right, shall we stand for our closing idea? And again, there is one mind, one life, one truth, one intelligence, one cause, one great movement of consciousness, always offering us the new. And we are the people who now accept the new, rejoice in the new. We solve the old. But we thank God for the new. That we do, as of this moment in this place, and for the rest of this day. So it is, and thank you for coming.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.